David Oyedepo. The hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil through the preaching of the word of faith. The message you're about to hear will definitely deliver into your hands what it takes to be free from every harassment of the devil in your life. Get set for a life of sound health, success, excellence, promotions, and all-round prosperity. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Power of His word. I can hear the hills sing a song of praise. In my reflection recently, I discovered that Jesus did not empower the disciples by praying for them. He empowered them by teaching them. In all of the scriptures, there was only one chapter that Jesus prayed for his disciples. All of the other chapters of the four gospels, he taught them. So he empowered them by teaching them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He empowered them by teaching them. He sent them on their first mission. Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10. And they went back and said in chapter 10, even devils were subject to us in your name. He did not pray for them before they went. He called them and said, I give you power. And they believed him and went. And began to do what they saw him did. No wonder he said, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn. Not come and let me pray for you. Come and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. Come and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. Their breakthrough knew no ban. Yet, they were largely empowered through his teachings, not through his prayers. Through his teachings. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, and you find rest for your souls. Come and learn, and your unrest will be turned into rest. Your defeat will be turned into victory. Your stagnation will be turned into distinction. Come and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. For what I will tell you to do is nothing compared with what you stand to lose if you don't do them. Come and learn to know what thing you have to do. It is far easier, much more easier than what you will need to do and still will not get that result. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and learn of me. There are many people in ministry that have become so miserable because they think that intercession and fasting is a substitute for illumination. So they become victims of frustration. They pray and they still remain oppressed. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You may get a relief in prayer. You can only get freedom with the truth. You may get a release in prayer. When an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he goes about looking for where to hang. And if he can't find anything, let me go back to where they drove me from. And when he came back and discovered the place was empty, he came in with seven more wicked spirits. Let us fortify our hold here. Prayer may bring you a relief. Only insight into the truth guarantees you true freedom. There is no magic wand in the kingdom. Something you wave and things start happening. There is always what you must do for anything to happen from God. There is no magic about salvation. Repentance is an eternal requirement for a man to be saved. Isn't that true? And accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior. every other effort is futile, except that it's in place. The world is yet to recover with the signs and wonders that erupted from those apostles today. And up to tomorrow, say Peter said, silver or gold have I none, such as I have I give unto you, rise up and walk. We are still saying what they said 2,000 years after they left. And yet he never prayed on them, received signs and wonders. No. He was teaching them and they all just simply became signs and wonders. 3.5 years, there was no report of any apostle that had a breakdown in health. None of them suffered ill health for 3.5 years. After Jesus left, they kept bouncing about like football all their life. In fact, history said, John was put in boiling oil and would not fry. The flesh has been eternalized. Truth has eaten him up. He has become a partaker of the divine nature. By the things John was saying to him alone, that will be clear to us if you remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So we partake of his divine nature through the transmission of his exceeding great and precious promises. As those things have a hold on us, we are changed from mortality to immortality. You become a sign. Now listen. Everybody in this church should push aside everything under heaven and be a part of the Signs and Wonders Convention, because I'll be putting in your hand by the Holy Spirit what he has put into me that has helped me to live a struggle-free life, sweatless life. A life that is not only an amazement to those around, but an amazement to me who is living it. Hello? It's one thing to be a surprise to others, it's another to be a surprise to yourself. It's one thing to be a surprise to people around you, it's another thing for you to become a surprise to yourself. Something humorous happened. We had a little journey over the weekend, and on our way back, one of my precious ones with me said, I said, take some water. He said, no, he doesn't want to stop on the way to go to, to ease himself. I smiled. I have power not to ease myself for days. If I'm doing anything here and I need to do it for 15 hours, I won't move out 1 inch. I smiled. You are thirsty and you are afraid to drink water, so you won't drop on the way. Amen. That's it. Now listen. He said, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. What did he call them? Gods. Now, every truth that truly enters you never leaves you at the human level. Every truth that truly enters you never leaves you at the human level. There is a supernatural translation that comes by revelation, which is always accompanied with strange manifestations. Every truth that truly enters you makes a God in quote of you in that area. Every truth that truly enters you turns you to a wonder supernaturally. Now you see, the truth is, I can't tell the difference between now and when this ministry began. And as far as personal welfare is concerned, I can't draw a line. I still can't trace anything to suffering. There is no pretense about it. And the secret is an open secret. Certain things entered me before I stepped out. It made it impossible for me to think otherwise. That's why I'm looking forward to something unusual entering you. They have been carrying you daily to this beautiful gate. They won't carry you again. They have been carrying you daily. Whom they carry daily. Daily. They carry you daily to this beautiful gate. But after this convention, no one will have to carry you again. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, how say ye that I blaspheme because I said I'm the son of God? You haven't seen anything yet. Wait a minute, Satan. The people are coming. The people are coming. You haven't seen anything yet. Those folks are about imagine. They are on their way coming. They are not just carrying a messianic anointing. They are carrying a super messianic anointing. Because the works I do, they shall do. And greater works than I'm doing shall they do. To prove that I'm truly with the Father. And he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. You see, this crusade of pray for me, we leave the church as babies. It is you coming to the awareness of what is loaded into you that puts you in command. Coming to know that the thing that is in your pastor is the same thing in you. And the same backing that your pastor has is the same backing that you have. Then you'll be free. Before the people become tired of you, connect to the truth. And you will experience the joy of true triumph on a personal platform. True triumph. Without being a concern and a weight on anybody. Jesus did not empower them by praying for them. He empowered them by teaching them. And when he left, everything he did, they used what he taught to reproduce it. You remember? When Jairus' daughter passed on, Jesus pushed them aside and went inside and held her by the hand and said, "Maid, come on." And then Dorcas also passed on as leader in Acts chapter 9. And Peter went in, he pushed all of them out, he took James and John and said, "Come in, let's reproduce what he did." And he held Dorcas by the hand, and she that was dead came back to life, and handed her alive to the brethren, and joy exploded. He empowered them by teaching them. The more light you have, the less you suffer on your knees. 1987, I was ministering in one of our very good first choir churches, and a little boy, I've shared the testimony several times, was possessed by the spirit of insanity and was talking endlessly, uncontrollably. They had heard 2-3 all-night prayers for him. Hello? As they were speaking in tongues, he was speaking his own. There was nothing they did, he wouldn't stop. And after teaching in that service, 1987, the pastor said to me, "We have a big problem here." I said, "What is it?" He said, "There's a boy that I've been talking for the past 5 days." I said, "What do you want him to do?" He said, "We don't want him to talk." I said, "Tell him." He said, "We have been telling him." I used to take coke in those days. And I had a bottle of coke in my hand. I said, "Where is the boy?" When he showed me the boy, I laughed. "How can this small boy be disturbing all of you?" So I put my finger. That was a coke. Look, you don't know how cheap the devil is until you carry enough light. Now, there was a bottle of coke in my hand, a glass of coke. And there was this, my finger that was free. And I said, "Put the boy here." They put the boy here. And he was talking. I put my finger on his forehead. I said, "Stop talking." He went down. There was no when he went down and slept. That was the last second he talked. All the devils left him. You see, you are not in command by the number of hours you pray. The only solution to the harassment of darkness is the illumination of light. If there is no light, you remain a struggler for life. I can't imagine the devil talking when I'm talking. Why can't I imagine that? Because I saw in my Bible that I've been raised together with him. And I've been made to sit together with him in heavenly places far above. When somebody far above you is talking, you keep quiet. Won't you? Somebody's far above you. He can't say quiet twice now. You have to obey. If he's truly far above you, it's one thing to be quoting scriptures. It's another thing to believe in it. It's one thing to be preaching the scriptures for all the pastors here. It's another thing to be able to live it by demonstrating it. So empowerment is largely by the revelation of the truth. The revelation of the truth. He called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. When you are free, you are free. It's not you are free today and down tomorrow. Many are sick, they pray for them, they are healed, and the next sickness is worse than the first one. Why? Because there is nothing inside that will raise a resistance against any further assault. But it shall not continue like that for you. Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? He empowered them by teaching them. And he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not for lack of prayer, not for lack of fasting, but for lack of knowledge. That the things you suffer, you don't suffer them because the devil is so impossible. You suffer them because you don't know what it takes to keep the devil where he belongs. You don't know what it takes to keep the devil where he belongs. Now, empowerment for business and career exploits. It's important for us to know that nothing happens in the kingdom without the finger of God. It is the Lord's doing, and that's why it's marvelous in our eyes. So every marvelous experience in our pursuit is the doing of the Lord. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds it. And except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are away but in vain. It's in vain you got up early in the morning and go to bed late, eating the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Psalm 127 and verse 1-3. Hard work is not enough a guarantee for exploits. It is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich, and he has no sorrow to it. In Psalm 118 verse 23, if it is marvelous, then it is the Lord's doing. Psalm 118 verse 23. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, the battle is not to the strong, the race is not to the swift, neither yet favor to men of skill. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. So God is the ultimate determinant of man's placement on earth. You can't be anywhere higher than God allows you to be. In Romans 9 verse 16, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So your ability to run does not determine your winning the race. What does it take to be empowered for exploits in my business and in my career? We must first know that every instrument, every equipment is empowered to perform specific functions. You are empowered for function, not position. You are empowered for service, not for status. How committed you are to servicing the needs of mankind will determine how much empowered you can be. If you check it all through scriptures, you find out that empowerment always targets service. Think of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. To preach the good tidings to the poor. The opening of eyes to the blind. Freedom to the captives. to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he was anointed to service the needs of humanity. The reason why many in the church will not be empowered is because they have no passion towards meeting any specific needs of man. They want to be empowered for name, for fame, for position, for possession. And God said, no, I empower people for service. I empower people for service. Now it came to the turn of the apostles. Jesus said to them in Luke 24 verse 49, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he defined the purpose of that power. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. You are receiving power to become my living witnesses on the earth. You'll be going all out for me to proclaim the reality of resurrection through signs and wonders. So God empowers his people to meet the needs of his creation. God empowers his people to meet the needs of his creation. One of the greatest businessmen in Bible history is called Job. And that man became the greatest man in all the East. And if you check the story of Job very well, you'll find out he was a man sold out to meeting the needs of humanity. Job 29, beginning from verse 3 to 18. As I was in the days of my youth, in the days of my youth, when I was beginning in life, I was committed to the welfare of the afflicted. I was eager to help the helpless. No wonder I was empowered to become a man of exploit. As I was in the days of my youth, when the Spirit of the Lord, the light of God, was upon my tabernacle, I washed my feet with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. And he went on to say, but because I was eyes to the blind and feet was eyes to the lame, I was father of the fatherless. He was sold out to meeting the needs of mankind, so God empowered him for exploit in his business. You cannot be any more empowered for exploit than you are committed to meeting the needs of mankind. I've said it before. When you live unto self, you probably die a slave. But when you live for others, you end up becoming a leader. Your commitment to the needs of others is what makes you a great leader. We live in a country that is overtaken with selfishness and self-centeredness. Most businesses in this country are around the husband, the wife, and their children. That already places a limit to what it can be expanded to become. Self. Most companies in this country die when their founders die. Self. Think of Abraham. I was saying it yesterday. Abraham must have employed more than 50% of the world population in his time. It was just after the flood. How could you have 318 servants in your house? How many were there in the world? 8 people were in the ark. At what rate were they reproducing? Abraham had 318 people in his house. The Bible said they were born there. He trained them. He armed them. And by that he became a nation. You can't sit around my husband, my wife, 2 of our children. It is the largeness of your heart that determines the largeness of your coast. The largeness of your heart is what determines the largeness of your coast. A very close individual to me in this country said to me sometimes,
He says, see, my joy is to see that the families of these people are feeding well from this job. He was talking about the work he was doing. Now, that particular segment had over 500 people working. So if they have families, they were all feeding there. He said, that is my joy. He said, this thing is not bringing much, but it's servicing the needs of people. We need that understanding. Exploit is not granted people who will exploit others. You don't become a man of exploit when your mission is to exploit others. But when you make yourself available as an instrument of service for the well-being of others, there will be no limit to where God will expand the work in your hand. Think of Isaac. The man went forward, he worked strong, he became great. He had a great store of servants. Come and say, great store. Many. A store of servants. Chapter 26 of Genesis. You begin from verse 10 to 14. He went forward. He worked strong. And a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Amen. He was perhaps the largest employer in the land. He took it from his father. Then he came to Jacob. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 43, he increased exceedingly, had much cattle, men servants, and maid servants. He increased exceedingly, and had men servants and maid servants in his employment. I know from this great commission, people will rise here who will become solutions to the unemployment crisis in the land. Can you see a young chap that came here who is now a publisher at that age? You will be wondering, what will this boy do? That was how Richard Branson began. He began by publishing a little magazine like that. And now you have the Virgin Island Empire. Virgin Airways still comes to Nigeria today. Virgin is perhaps today the wealthiest Briton alive. Started that way. Never forget, I said it before, the larger your heart for meeting the needs of mankind, the larger your coast becomes by the hand of God. When you live for self, you most probably end up a slave. But when you live to serve, you become a candidate for supernatural exploits. This is so important. Jesus empowered them by teaching them. Living for others is what makes a leader. Commitment to the needs of others is what makes a great leader. And those who live for others to live never die. You find them there all the time. Hundreds of years after they are gone, they are still alive by virtue of impact and exploits that they commanded in their time. This shall be the portion of everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. This shall be the portion of everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. This shall be the portion of everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was teaching on the mystery of exploit, and he tied it to this one thing. In Luke 22, verse 24 to 26, there was a debate on which among them would be the greatest. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, what is it? Let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whither is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Now that is the man that commanded the greatest exploit in the history of creation and forever. He has more followers today
than any other system or being on the earth. He said, I am in your midst as one that serves. The secret of every man is in his story. Jesus said, you don't become greatest by looking for positions. You become the greatest by making contributions. I am in your midst as one that serves. That means in the kingdom, exploit, answer to service. Exploit, response to service. Exploit, response to service. I am in your midst as one that serves. In Mark chapter 9, verses 34 and 35. Mark chapter 9. Jesus still on the same truth. He said, but they heard their peace. Verse 34. For by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, let's read together now. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You don't become first by just wanting to be first. You must be willing to pay the price. What determines where you find yourself tomorrow is your commitment to service. What is it? Commitment to service. We need a change of mentality in our great nation and on our great continent. A change of mentality. Because a life that is void of contribution will normally die in frustration. Jesus paid the ultimate price according to him here in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 24 beginning. Jesus said, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, what? Let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life, what? A ransom for many. That is living for others to live. He gave his life. He gave his life. No wonder he's still living today. He gave his life for others to live. No one took it from me and said, I lay it down by myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I laid it down by myself. If on the cross I say no, I will come down. I laid it down by myself. I'd like you to be awake in your spirit and begin to burn with a fresh passion. The land is reading with problems. Which of these problems are you driving at providing solution for? Unemployment has eaten deep the entire system. What way can I be a job creator in this circumstance? How do I put smiles on the face of other people? When that comes your way, then you find the Holy Spirit empowering you with divine ideas. Can I hear your amen? With divine ideas, and things begin to open up. What does it take to be empowered for exploits? It takes the heart of a servant. It takes genuine commitment to servicing the needs of mankind. It takes that. How God anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. So God will always empower people who will go about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all them that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with them. He went about doing good. So until God is convinced that you are ready to go about doing good, you are not qualified to be empowered. You'll be limited to wherever you're doing good stops. God doesn't need to bless you before he knows what you will do. He knows your thoughts are far off. Say, bless me, God, and you will see. Say, I see already. Because he knows your thoughts are far off. Before him all things lay bare. God doesn't need to bless you before he knows what you will do with the blessing. He knows it before you start thinking it. I, the Lord, I search the heart and I know the reins. That is what I use to determine what I place in the hand of anyone. I search the heart and I know the reins to render to everyone according to his ways. So God knows what is in your heart. That's what places the limit of what he places in your hand. God knows what is in your heart. The two junior people you have working with you, you know how you handle them? You know how long they have been there, and you know how much you have increased their earning? Their pay is permanent. Even when the business is exploding, it doesn't concern them. God knows, so he said, let's keep him at this level. There is no point frustrating more people in the world. Keep him at this level. Until Nigeria breaks the jinx of family business, we are not going to experience true industrialization. Until that jinx is broken, when you go for skill, when you go for what is required, not for just anything around, you might as well be at the same level. But God forbid. Can I hear your loud amen? Abraham was an employer of labor. Isaac was an employer of labor. Jacob was an employer of labor. So covenant people are solution providers wherever they are found. They are solution providers. When you are setting up systems, not so much because what is coming out of it, but so much what is going out of it to meeting the needs of people. At the rate at which you are going, it will take the university not less than 15 years, if it's only school fees they are collecting, to meet up the physical structure alone, if they would do that. What is 15 years? About 32 years. Okay, why are we involved? Because we are committed to servicing certain aspects of our national problems, providing quality education, bringing about a new breed of people who can think differently from this corrupt system. You are not going to fail. Until this is in your heart, God cannot put that thing in your hand. It has to be there first. It has to be there first. You can't build an orphanage and expect to have returns. You have continuous investment. Continuous investment. You can't build an old people's home and expect to have returns in cash. You have returns in thank you. So it takes a heart to solving the problems of mankind to get involved. May the Lord give you a new heart here today. May the Lord grant you a new heart here today. What am I talking about? You are empowered essentially to be a blessing. I will make you a man of exploit, and thou shalt be a blessing. So I will make your name great. I will bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And thou shalt be a blessing. So God empowers you to the level that you are prepared to be a blessing. He empowers you to the level that you are prepared to be a blessing. He empowers you to the level that you are prepared to be a blessing. Therefore, a passionate commitment towards contribution is what qualifies you for his empowerment. Seated in this great sanctuary today is the hope of Nigeria. Seated in this place today is the hope of Africa. All you need to do is to take your place in this great opportunity that is open to us, is to take your place. You have a part to play. The destiny of multitudes is hanging on your neck. Stop thinking needs. You are not a needy. Start thinking solutions. You are called the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You are not part of the stench. You are a solution to the present corruption. Just where you are seated, look inward. This business I'm doing can't end at this point, because inside my heart is to become a succorer of multitudes. This can end here. Inside that your career lies the hope of this country. There is something this nation, this land, this creation is waiting for you to bring forth. And you will bring it forth in Jesus' name. Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? Did you hear Paul the Apostle, one of the most anointed men in scriptures? Paul said, I will wish myself accursed for my people. He was dying for the needs of his people to be met. No wonder he imagined a man of exploits. In Romans chapter 9 verse 3, or let's begin from verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. Romans 9, 1 to 3. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. I could wish myself accursed. He said, this is my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I'm burning with passion for their salvation. We all agree that next to Jesus Christ in the New Testament is Paul the Apostle. His commitment to service was the root of his empowerment for exploits. His commitment to service. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. That was the man. He said, I count all things but dung. Nothing is relevant for me and to me except to do the will of God. Finish it. I heard Paul say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He was so lost in the service of humanity. No wonder he was that empowered for exploits. You can't preach a full gospel today without reference to Paul the Apostle. There are people sitting down here today that if Jesus tarries, hundreds of years after your departure, you will still remain a point of reference. Yeah. Can I hear your loud amen? Yeah. So it takes commitment to service for you to be empowered for exploit. Now, briefly as we close, how does God empower for exploits? How does God empower for exploits? We all agree that the Holy Ghost is the power of God personified. Amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. So he is the fountain of power. It's our connection to the multifaceted power of God. It's our link with everything that makes God omnipotent. So God empowers us by his Holy Spirit, and in the following areas. One, the Holy Ghost empowers us for divine direction. For what? From Psalm 23, you know, when you are guided by the shepherd, exploit is the end result. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because divine direction guarantees you divine presence. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So when you are divinely guided, your destination is exploits. Amen. Your destination is exploits. I'm the Lord that teacheth thee, leadeth in the way that thou shouldest go. I'm the Lord that teacheth thee to profit. So God leads us and teaches us. He leads us in the way to go, and then teaches us to profit. So where you are going is much more important than the principles you are employing. If you are going the right way, the principles will deliver maximally. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the Bible said about the Holy Ghost, when it's come, he will guide us into all truth. The Holy Ghost is our greatest guide. He will guide us into all truth. He will guide us into all truth. I know there is one other step you need to take for God's purpose to be fulfilled in your life. Before this month is over, God will open that door to you. When the Holy Ghost asked for Paul to move to the Gentiles, that was a breakthrough. What was it? When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you are heading for unlimited breakthroughs. Think of it. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. He headed for Tarshish. And he suffered the most horrifying frustration of his life. But the moment he arrived in Nineveh, there was no much thing in what he was preaching. The whole city repented. The whole city. It's the first record in scriptures, the only record in scriptures where men and animals, everybody fasted. Everybody, it was the most profound awakening in the history of the Bible. Because he went to where he was sent to go. So when you are where you are sent and doing what you are sent, you enjoy unusual divine backing for unlimited breakthroughs. Can I hear your amen? When you are where you are sent and doing what you are sent, you experience unusual breakthrough. And that will be your portion from now. If you don't know the secret of Jesus' exploits, he said, I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. So I pray right now that every of your spiritual ears be popped open from this moment. As I hear, so I judge, and my judgment is true. As I hear. So when you are able to hear what God is saying, and you are following in the direction God is leading, you are bound to command exploits. No more frustration for you in your life. He empowers us by granting us divine guidance through the Holy Spirit. Divine guidance through the Holy Spirit. How else does the Holy Spirit and God empower us for exploits? God empowers us for exploits through supernatural skill. Endowment of supernatural skill. In Daniel chapter 1, and it's very important, verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and what? Skill. In all learning and wisdom. Who gave them? No wonder Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Daniel said, this is not shown to me because of any wisdom that I have than any of the living, but God made it available. Supernatural skill. There are things you are supernaturally equipped to do. Can I hear your amen? You are supernaturally equipped to do. There are things you don't have to struggle to do. It's an endowment. Come and say endowment. And you see, it's so interesting that you are either endowed by God or you place a demand for it. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. So it's an open check. If there is a particular thing you need that is not operational in your life, you can convert it from God. I need this thing to get this job going. So release it to me in the name of Jesus. And he's committed to do that. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. God gave them. And you remember what became of them? They became men of exploits. So he empowers us through the endowment of supernatural skills. God empowers us for exploit through the endowment of supernatural skills. Very important. Shout hallelujah. Number 3, he empowers us through
Release of divine ideas. Come on, say divine ideas. Say it loud, divine ideas. Every business fortune is built on ideas. Every business fortune is built on ideas. So God empowers us through divine ideas, the release of divine ideas. And as I pray with you at the close of this service, I see God begin to shower on each one divine ideas that will birth unlimited exploits in your life. Now, Joseph interpreted the dream of the king, but that was not the mystery. He came forth with a solution through divine ideas. If famine is coming, what shall we do? And through divine ideas, Joseph took over. Somebody else here is taking over this year in your career, in your business, in the name of Jesus. And you know what Pharaoh said? Inasmuch as God has shown you all these things, there is no one as wise and discreet as thou art, who we may set over this business. Therefore, the whole of Egypt is before you, and according to thy word shall my people be ruled. Only on the throne will I be greater than you. Through divine ideas, governments and authorities will begin to look for you before the year is over. Divine ideas. And Joseph emerged a man of unusual exploit. The whole Egypt bowed to him. He became the succorer of a whole nation. Israel found a placement in Egypt via a one-time slave boy. It doesn't matter where you are today. God can bring solution to this country by your hand. Just a divine idea. Genesis 41 verse 38. Pharaoh said, inasmuch as God has shown you all these things, there is no one that can handle this except you. From this time, God will be showing you unusual things. Yeah. That will be accompanied with unusual proofs. Yeah. Can I hear you shout a living amen? Yeah. Can I hear you shout a living amen? Yeah. Can I hear you shout a living amen? Yeah. So He empowers you by endowing you and me with supernatural skill. He empowers us through the release of divine ideas. You remember the story of the man called Jacob, when Laban was playing on him and trying to play him out of the business. An idea came to Jacob, who never saw the four walls of a school, on how to determine the breed of your cattle. And he made stripes on polar trees and put them in the valleys, that when the cattle came to water, they mate before the striped polar trees and gave birth rain-staked calves by divine ideas. And you know what this man said? Laban said, I have learned by experience that God has prospered me for your sake. So divine ideas will bring unusual prosperity. What do I call it? Unusual. He said, because little did I have when you came, and God has made me to have much, and I've learned by experience that God has prospered me by you. Wake up. Because this year you are going to swim in divine ideas. Yeah. I said, this year you are going to swim in divine ideas. This year you are going to begin to swim in divine ideas. Not balloon ideas, but startable ideas. Ideas that have a starting point. Ideas that can be implemented from where you are. Can I hear your amen? Divine ideas. Divine ideas. You are walking into it in the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, how does God empower us for exploits? Through endowment of supernatural love. Come and say supernatural love. Say it loud, supernatural love. In Romans 5:5, the Bible said, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Romans 5:5. So the Holy Ghost empowers us for supernatural love. And let me say this. I've put it as the last, but it's actually the first. Because everything is around this fact. Hear me very carefully and hear me now. The depth of your love for God determines the level of exploits you will ever command in your pursuit. Everything is built on this factor. You know, Jesus answered that young man who asked him which is the greatest commandment of the law. He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. He said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, upon these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Every act of God is built on this platform. And the Holy Ghost empowers us to love God supernaturally. One of my sons was asking me last week, he said, please, tell me, how do you love God? And I said, we'll talk about that later. But the truth is this, it is the Holy Ghost that empowers you to love God beyond human comprehension. He said, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. And I'm sure you heard what Paul said. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, it has not entered into the heart of any man what God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed this to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the depth of your love for God determines the level of exploits you will command in your pursuit. Because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. God's best is always reserved for his lovers. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now when you so love God in the church, the best from God comes back to you. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. Haven't you heard? Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in your stones, and favor the very dust thereof. Therefore, the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the ends of the earth thy glory. For when thou shalt build up Zion, thou shalt appear in your glory. Psalm 102, verse 13 to 16. Let's see. When you are in love, in true love, you become a candidate for his favor. And in Psalm 30, verse 5 to 7, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. So when you are in favor with God, you command unusual exploits among men. Can I hear your amen? Amen. And how do you win the favor of God? By favoring God's agenda on the earth. Favoring God's agenda on the earth. Whatever moves God begins to move you naturally. You can't truly love God and not love people. And if you love people, you have qualified for his empowerment, because you are empowered to serve mankind. Come and say, empowered to serve mankind. You are empowered to serve mankind. You are empowered to serve mankind. You are empowered to serve mankind. And the Holy Ghost is the one who empowers us to love God supernaturally. It was read to us during the offering. And now, because of my affection for the house of my God, how many know that that is the only thing that David had? David only had a heart for God, and he has made an indelible mark on the earth. Thousands of years after he left, they are still celebrating David, just because of the heart he has for God. Businessmen, career people, without a heart for God, life remains a struggle. God is not taking advantage of you. He makes it available to help you. God can't go any higher. He's the most high. God can't become any bigger. He already fits all in all. God cannot become any wealthier. The silver is his and the gold is his. The thousand rounds upon the thousand his are his. But if you want to enjoy true exploit, you need a true heart for God. What do I call it? A true heart for God. A true heart for God. I close with this story. This man is called Robert G. Lotoroni. He lived in the times of the Second World War. This man was a roadside mechanic, and he had a life verse from scriptures. And that life verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He was a roadside mechanic. I shared this story in 1995, and I shared it among the staff the other time at our fellowship at the CU. Now, this young man had a heart for God. And from a roadside mechanic, he became a designer and a manufacturer of earth-moving equipment. 50% of the earth-moving equipment during World War II was manufactured by him. 50%. Roadside mechanic. And he says it very humorously, "I'm just a mechanic whom God has blessed. I'm just a mechanic whom God has blessed." He invested large sums of money in Liberia, missionary activities, in Peru, in South America. Practical investment of millions. He has two chaplains in his factories. They run morning and evening fellowships in the factory. Today we still have standing in Texas, Longview, Texas, Lutheran University, founded by him in 1946. How? People are returning from the World War. They need to be equipped to have a means of livelihood when they return home. So he started at Lutheran Institute of Technology, and today it's a university. A roadside mechanic, but with a heart for God. I don't care what you have. If you don't have God in your heart, you can't make a mark. If you don't have God in your heart, if everything about God is a burden to you, oh, come on, let's build an hospital, it's a burden. Let's build a university, what a gain. The moment God becomes a burden, your life loses direction. It loses color. So wake up. Pray for me is not the answer. It is you positioning yourself for exploits. Positioning yourself for exploits. Are you committed to servicing the needs of mankind? Are you truly in love for God? In love with God? This is what qualifies you for empowerment. And as I pray for you this morning, I believe God that you will become correctly positioned for exploits. There is a part you have to play in recovering the destiny of this nation and recovering the glory of this continent. Nobody else will steal your part from you. Yes. Lift up your two hands, and whatever you have heard from this teaching this morning, begin to appropriate them. I'm available to service the needs of mankind, Lord. I'm open to play my part in bringing solutions to the myriads of problems in this nation and on this continent. Holy Spirit, guide me the way to go. Let it be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Something happened to me back in 1976. It has remained the secret behind the goodness of God I see today. One day came and I saw nothing else but God and a heart for God as the secret for true fulfillment in life. Oh, it was so real. It changed my perspective absolutely. I've not recovered from that change till tomorrow. That all these things will be added to you if you do only this one thing. What is that one thing? Seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek its promotion, its welfare, its upliftment. Remain its die-hard promoter. God doesn't speak to you because you have something. I didn't have nothing. Next to zero. But I have a heart. I'm sure everybody here has a heart. But I had a heart. And he said, my son, give me your heart. I don't need your money. The money you call your own is me who gave you in the first instance. But my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. All I need is your heart. Don't hold the mouth of your pocket. I don't need your money. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. But give me your heart. Give me your heart. I said in the family meeting yesterday, goodness is the answer to wickedness. Wickedness does not it has no respect for prayer. But if you are a follower of that which is good, who is it that will hurt you? So if you want to live a life that is fulfilling, just be committed to doing good. Be committed to doing good. You'll be so empowered that things will break forth on the right and on the left for you. From this day, I decree that your heart will be made available to God in truth and in deed. That in the morning, God. In the afternoon, God. In the night, God. When you lie down, God. When you are driving on the street, God. When you are making your budget, God. That for God's sake, everyone in need around you will find a help coming from you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just in a moment, because I'm praying for you three different kinds of prayer. But for now, if it is your desire, in Proverbs 23 verse 26, he said, my son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. God never said, my son, give me your money. My son, give me your heart. The Bible said about the Philippian church, they first gave themselves unto God. Amen. And unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves first. That's what made what they were given in material substance to have meaning. They gave themselves first. Do you know what Lutheroni said? He said, when my business was trying to compete with the place of God in my life, I went to God and I said, no, Lord, I want to become your businessman. I'm working for you. I'm not the head of this organization. I'm working for you. So he became God's businessman. Come and say, God's businessman. We are still celebrating the legacy left behind by a roadside mechanic who saw the favor of God. I don't care how many certificates you have. If you don't have a heart for God, you may live and die in the prison of life. A mechanic whom God has blessed. Powerful man. He was all out in the full gospel. He was everywhere. God blessed him. And he said, that verse turned his life. When I saw it, I marked it. I said, why did we see the same thing? God, that verse turned his life. I'd like you to put your right hand on your chest. Because today is marking a turning point in your life. If every businessman, if every career person here will become God's businessman, God's career man, there will be an eruption in Nigeria. If everyone will be working as unto God and working for God, there will be no limit to the breakthroughs you'll be experiencing. But because I've been working for yourself, for your children, for your family, that's why. A heart for God will be the beginning of beginnings for you. A heart for God will become the beginning of beginnings for you. I met a young man in London and he rushed to me And I said, how are you? He said, fine. He said, I was on a scholarship in Ife. I never knew him. There are hundreds. I can't be hungry till I die. They are in their home. Even when there was no money, the money that will ever come was still going to service the list of people. Man, I can't but have money till I die. Is there? Is there? A heart for God will give you a heart for people. And when you have a heart for people, you'll be empowered to serve them more. You have lived to yourself enough. You have lived to yourself enough. Put your right hand on your chest and by yourself say, Lord, I am giving you my heart afresh. I'm renewing my covenant of unreserved committer to you. Do that in a moment. You are not a needy. You made yourself one. Now escape for your life. I am giving you my heart afresh. In Jesus' precious name. Since he said, give me your heart, and if anyone comes to me, I will know why it's torn back. Therefore, as you give him your heart and he has received it, from henceforth begin to make strange marks in your pursuit. From today, your breakthrough will know no bounds. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down and bring your points of contact out for your various businesses and careers if you have them here. You can put the name of your company or companies, your card if you have them there, and whatever you brought as a point of contact for your various endeavors. I'm going to speak God's blessings that will bring you into realms of exploits, because the foundation is now laid. You have given God your heart. Because this is the year of your dominion, the world will feel the impact of today in your own life. Before this year is over, everybody celebrating your results. Everybody celebrating your results. Everybody celebrating your results. I'd like you to lift what it is that you have in your hand before the Lord. The Bible said that whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Because he's connected to God. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. If you are celebrating a roadside mechanic over 35 years that he left, the world will celebrate you for centuries. As I pour this apostolic blessing on the works of your hand, beginning from this new week, begin to experience a turnaround. Because you have positioned yourself in the love of God for exploits. Beginning from now, every closed door to your businesses and careers, I command them to be reopened back to you. From this day onward, you shall no more know a setback in your life. I decree the dawning of a new day for you. I decree the dawning of a new day for you. I decree the dawning of a new day for you. I decree the dawning of a new day for you. I decree the dawning of a new day for you. So shall it be. Put your right hand on your forehead. I command the rain of divine ideas on your life from now. The one that answered to Joseph and answered to Jacob in the house of Laban. The one that answered to Jacob, to Joseph in the land of captivity. I decree a rain of divine ideas upon your life today. That before the end of the first quarter, divine ideas that will establish your dominion will come your way.
As I speak this word, I command the transmission of divine ideas into your heart in the name of Jesus. Keep that hand there, and I decree endowment of supernatural skill in your pursuit in the name of Jesus. Every learner, every student in our midst today, the kind of supernatural endowment that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego encounter, I release them to you in the name of Jesus. Every learner of any trade, the kind of skill that God gave Bezalel and Aholiab in their trade, I decree the release in your life in the name of Jesus. Everyone in this service today, be filled with divine ideas, be filled with divine skill in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And from now, I decree that your ears will hear the voice of the Spirit distinctly. You shall no more miss your step in the journey of life. In the name of Jesus. You shall no more miss your steps in the journey of life. In the name of Jesus. You shall no more miss your steps in the journey of life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. This day marks the beginning of beginnings for you in your pursuit. You will live to remember this day as a day of turnaround in your life. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands and give him thanks. He's alive forever.
You have been listening to Bishop David Oyedepo expounding the Word of God to you. We believe this message has been a blessing to you and your family. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, PMB 21688, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Call 774-7546, 774-7547, 774-7548, or send your testimony through the email at bishop@dummy.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Canaan Land, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, on Thursdays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. or Sundays, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m.
Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty.